The Apostle Paul, talking about justification through faith, that God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness, can be imputed, that God was going to rain down righteousness on his people, and that Israel would be called the oaks of righteousness. God is our righteousness. We came to chapter 4 last time because Paul said, are we going to nullify the law through faith? No, we're on the contrary, we're going to establish the law, meaning the first five books of the Old Testament and all the laws with them. We're establishing it because here's what he says. What then did Abraham find according to the flesh? I'm beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, where we had left off a little bit last time. What are we going to say that our forefather Abraham, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, now remember, the word justified means to be made righteous. He has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Again, Paul, that he wants to keep that scripture is written for us. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited, imputed, reckoned. You can use a number of words for it. It means to put it on someone's account even though they did not earn it. Credited to him as righteousness. It's because he believed. Now Paul says in verse 4, now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, he makes righteous the ungodly. You are not always godly. His faith, and when you were baptized, before you were converted, you were ungodly. His faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. When he wrote in Psalm there, 32, what is it? 32:2. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not, and whose sin the Lord does not take into account. It does not impute sin. He does not credit that sin. Blessed is the man to whom God doesn't put the sin on your account. Now, verse 9. Paul, because he's the apostle of the Gentiles, comes to this. Is this blessing then on the circumcised? Now remember, in the first years of the church, it was a big issue about circumcision. The Jews said, well, we're circumcised. Those Gentiles are not circumcised, so they can't have part in the blessings of Abraham. They can't have part in God's great, wonderful plan and all of his promises because they're not circumcised. And so Paul says, is this blessing of just taking the sin away from your account and crediting you instead? You know, if you have a ledger, you take this off. I'll take this. You don't owe this anymore, and we're going to credit you with some money. You know, credit you. Is this blessing on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? Is it on just the circumcised? For we say, now, here's Paul. Paul and my companions and we apostles, we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. He quotes Genesis 15, verse 6. Verse 10, how then was it credited? How was that? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. You see, circumcision didn't come to Abraham till chapter 17 of the book of Genesis. And in chapter 15, it was while he was uncircumcised, it was credited as righteousness. So Paul says, did it come to him while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? No, it came to him while he was uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe, without being circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them. Abraham is the father of all the faithful, all who believe, and the father of the circumcision to those who are not only are of the circumcision, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. So the Jews can have this faith. The Jews can have this credited to them too. Anybody circumcised can have it credited, but they have to have the faith, just like Abraham did. Verse 13, for the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The dikaiosune of faith. Now he goes on to talk about how Abraham reasoned and how this difficult struggle Abraham had, you know, being promised a child and going through this, and he never doubted, he kept on going. And so in comes to chapter 20, you know, comes to down to verse 21, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Verse 22, therefore, this is now down to chapter 4, verse 22 of Romans. Therefore, it was credited. He once again quotes chapter 15 of Genesis and verse 6. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness, was imputed, reckoned, you know, declared, you know, credited. Verse 23. Now, it was not for his sake only that it was written, that it was credited, counted, concluded, regarded, reckoned, and imputed. All these words are the same Greek word. English words can be a number of ways. Now, it was not for his sake only that it was written that it was imputed to him. Why not for his sake only? Paul says, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him, in God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. It wasn't just written for his sake. You notice how the Apostle Paul took a very strong belief that the Word of God is a living Word, that the words of the Bible are living, they're not dead. Notice in chapter 15, I'm just going to, for an aside here for a second, Romans 15, I'm dropping down, I think, to verse 4. For whatever was written in earlier times, Paul said, was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. What was written in earlier times? It just wasn't written as a dead book. It was written for us, for our instruction, that we might have encouragement and hope. So, he talks about it. It wasn't just written for him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited if we believe in him, in other words, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised for our justification. The justification means an acquittal. An acquittal. You're not guilty, okay, before God. You're not guilty. You're right. You're okay. Your justification. He was delivered for our transgressions, raised up for our acquittal. We are not guilty before God. We are righteous before God. His righteousness is imputed to us. It's imputed to us. Legally imputed to us. Now, of course, you understand Paul is teaching this doctrine. Some people took this, and there are churches and people that take this doctrine too far. They absolutely do. They take it, well, we don't have to keep anything. You know, you can do anything you want. And since you're in God, all you have to believe is in Jesus, and you can do anything you want. You don't have to keep those laws. You don't have to do anything about it because, after all, you are righteous before God. Now, that's not what Paul said. The fact is, he knew so much about it that he asked the question, what shall we say then in chapter 6? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound, that God's grace is fine there and it would abound? No. Am I saying then that we should do these evil things? Does this mean continue to do the sinful thing? No, he keeps asking that question. No. Now, the word is used, the same word, which is the Greek word, is used in Romans 2 and verse 26. So if the circumcised, if the uncircumcised man, this is Romans 2, 26, keeps the requirements of the law. Now, you're uncircumcised, he's a Gentile, but he keeps the requirements. And the Jews had, they took a view like this. There were many laws that were given that were strictly for Israel. Just strictly for Israel. They knew that. They understood that. These were the Israeli, these were to make Israel a unique and different nation. But there were, they call them the Noahian laws, the laws of Noah, that are what we call the big, broad, and moral laws. And they are for everyone. And everyone who violates those laws in any nation are condemned of God. They are. You cannot violate those laws. Now, if you want to get to more and more perfection, then you'll do some of the more finer laws. But the broad laws of not killing, honoring your parents, stealing, not committing adultery, not only this, taking somebody else's wife and all of this. No, these broad laws are for everyone around the world, regardless of nation or anyone. These are. These are called the Noahian laws. So if a uncircumcised man, in Romans 2, verse 26, keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded, that's the same Greek word, be imputed, be credited as circumcision? Even though he's not circumcised, physically he's not, but he will be credited with that. He's just like he is circumcised because he's doing all the right things. He's doing all the right. Well, what difference does it make? Is he literally circumcised? He is circumcised and credited with circumcision. You see there? So we have this statement because by and large, Paul is talking that no one really, in God's eyes, can be completely, literally perfect and righteous all the time. That's his position. None are righteous, no, not one. Everybody has sinned in some way. And he even talks about himself. I mean, I was doing fine until the commandment said you shouldn't even want to do it. Not only shouldn't you do it, you shouldn't have any desire to do it. And then he said, then the commandment came up, I died. I couldn't survive with that. Now, there's a passage here that shows this imputation. It's in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. It's a very good passage. It goes like this. By this, love is perfected with us. I'm reading in the New American Standard Version. So that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. So as he is, so also are we. Here's the new English translation of it. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because just as Jesus, meaning Jesus, is, so also are we in this world, as Jesus is. In this way, then I'm going to read it from the New International Version. In this way, love is made complete among us. So that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. Here's the New Jerusalem Bible translation of it. Love comes to its perfection in us when we can face the day of judgment fearlessly, because even in this world we have become as he is. Now what he's talking about, he uses the word he. And John's gospel uses the word he, that one. Actually, it means that one. That one, as that one is, so are we in the world. And the author says, just as he is. And in chapter 3 in verse 2, we're supposed to be like God. Remember? Eventually, we will be like God. We will be like God because we are children of God now, but then we don't know what it is to be, but we will be like him eventually as he is. But in the world today, in God's eyes, and and he says, we can be already in this present age like Christ, as Christ is in this present age. But we're covered with that credited righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Christ. And that's what God sees in the world we live in today. Now, Paul uses other references to what we're talking about. I don't want you to think that Romans is the only place here. So I want to read a few other passages. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. He says, and such... Now, he goes through this whole list of evils, you know, the thieves and, you know, and adulterers and people who are male and female homosexuals and this and that. And he goes through this whole list and he says, and such were some of you, but you were cleansed. Such were some of you. Now in verse 11, 1 Corinthians, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, made holy. But you were justified, made righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. He's talking about two ministries. He's talking about the Old Testament ministry, the ministry of death, he called it, the administration of death, as opposed to the administration of the Spirit. And he talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And he talks in verse 9. For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. Paul's ministry was a ministry of righteousness. It's a service of righteousness. And it's a service of righteousness through... And you don't get the condemnation. You remember Jesus Christ makes you acquittal. You have an acquittal before God because you're guilty before God. We're all guilty before God. And God gives us an acquittal and then covers us with the imputed righteousness of Christ that we might stand before him. Does that mean that we don't do anything? Does that mean that we're free to go do anything we want and live any kind of way we know? Absolutely not. But it does cover you so that you can approach the holy and righteous God, you know, through the sacrifice of Christ. Now I want to read you a passage through Galatians. The book of Galatians chapter 3. And you'll see the same theme here beginning in verse 6. Even so Abraham, I'm beginning Galatians 3 verse 6. Even so Abraham believed God. And it was reckoned, imputed to him as righteousness. Again, he's quoting Genesis 15, verse 6. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify, make righteous the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, he preached good news to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. All nations shall be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer, the faithful Abraham, the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law, the people who are trying to become righteous through the deeds of the law, and that's their whole focus. That's the only way I want to be righteous. I want to be righteous, and when I keep the law perfectly, I will be righteous. And that's what the Jews tended to believe. If you keep the law perfectly, then you're righteous. Those who are of for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. Paul says they are. Now, is the law is the curse? No, the law is not the curse. Why are they under a curse? For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them, to perform them. That's Deuteronomy 27 and verse 26, Paul is quoting. So, Unless you do every one of the laws, if you want to be righteous before God, you've got to do every one of the laws, and you've got to do them right and all the time. Not one day right, all the time right. So Paul says, you know, nobody's doing that. There's nobody that can do that. And therefore, since nobody can do it, you're under a curse, because cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the law, in the book of the law, to perform them. Now, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. Now, Paul says, we can see from Old Testament scriptures and the prophets that no one can be made righteous by the law. Why? He says, that's evident. Then he quotes Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Because the righteous man stays alive, will live, he will keep, he will not die, he will live through faith. He keeps alive, he will live through his faith. But cursed is everyone who doesn't do all the things written in the book of the law to do them. But the righteous man will live through his faith. The just, and King James says, the just shall live by faith. The word just means righteous. So that's it from Habakkuk 2:4. Now verse 12, Galatians 3, verse 12. However, the law is not of faith. The law is not about faith, it's about doing it. On the contrary, then he quotes another scripture from Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 5. On the contrary, quote, he who practices them shall live by them. You stay alive by doing these laws. So it's not by faith. You stay alive. You practice them. That's how you do it. Now he says, Christ, in verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, let's understand what the curse of the law is. The curse of the law is when you don't do it, right? It's when you don't do it. You break the law, and now you are subject to the curses the laws demand. Go out here and rob a store and see how much cursing you get and how much trouble you get into. Go out here and do something that is wrong and break laws and see how much trouble you get into. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, now he quotes Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He hung on a tree for you. Because cursed is everyone who doesn't do all the things of this law. Remember that? In order that in Christ, why did he hang on the tree for you, in your place, imputed to you, it should have been, but it now is imputed to him, in order that in Christ the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we, the Gentiles, might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's how you're going to receive the promise of the Spirit, through faith. So again, he takes a long time. How do we become justified? The righteous stays alive through faith. Okay, because Abraham, it was imputed to Abraham, his faith was imputed as righteousness. Whereas a person who's trying to become, stand before God, you remember how the Pharisee prayed, I thank you, God, I'm not like other men. Well, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess. I do all this. I'm not like other people, adulterers, this, and, you know, and even as this tax collector, I'm better than them. No, he wasn't. He did not do it perfectly, and he refused the greatest of all the sins, according to the New Testament, is the refusal of the belief in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, dropping down here for a minute. Now let me give you the background of Galatians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is telling the Galatians, because the Galatians said, you know, he had these Jewish preachers who were, you know, the conservative Jewish element of the church was saying, Now, you Gentiles, now you're in the church, but you, if you haven't been circumcised, if you don't do all these other things like we Jews do and wear the phylacteries and do this thing and do that thing, then you are not really converted. You are not really good. Well, they said, well, Paul told us to believe in Christ. Well, they said, but that's not enough. You have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. And you're not circumcised, and if you're not circumcised, that's bad. Okay. So, the unclean, you know, there are two sections of unclean. One is a ceremonial thing. So, Jews said, since a Gentile house could never get cleansed of uncleanness, it could never, because they didn't have any way. There were no ceremonial laws for Gentiles to get clean. So everything in a Gentile house was clean, even if they ate meat, even if they ate beef or chicken or good, clean fish or anything, it was still unclean. And yet Peter went in, you remember, in Acts chapter 10, he went in and ate with them. And he was called on the carpet by the church, by many of the Jewish brethren in the church, and what in the world were you doing in there? And Peter says, well, I got this vision, and I went, and and God gave them the Holy Spirit, before they were even baptized, just like he did us. And why should, who am I to argue what God is going to do? But when they come to sitting with the Gentiles at Galatia, Peter and Barnabas were there. When certain people came from the church where James was the pastor, the head, what you might say the Jerusalem church, where James became the pastor, they came from James and they began to look over people. Peter, who was eating with some of the Gentile brethren at the same table with the Gentile brethren, got up and went over and sat down with only the Jewish brethren. And then a couple of other Peter's companions, they did it. And a few others, and finally Barnabas, who sat with Paul, got up and went over with them too. Now here's what Paul said. Chapter 2, Galatians, I'm going to begin in verse 14. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, Cephas, in the presence of all of them, here's what I said. If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles, that is, you didn't pay attention to all the ceremonial uncleannesses, you went right into the Gentile home and you ate with those people, and not like the Jews, you yourself did that, Peter. How is it now that you're trying to compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? How are you doing that? Because when you get up and leave that table, you're telling these people they're not good enough. They need to be circumcised. That's what you're telling these Gentile brethren. And then he says, we are Jews by nature, yeah, and not sinners from the Gentiles. That was a kind of a mantra that the Jews used to use. Gentiles and sinners were always used in the same term. Gentile sinners. It was sinners of the Gentiles. Okay? Well, we're Jews. We're not like sinners of the Gentiles. Because Gentiles had no way to, they had no part of the covenant. They were not part of Israel. They cannot get clean. They had no priesthood. How are they going to approach God? There's the temple. They can't go into the temple. So, we know that we're Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, Paul says. He quotes that little phrase. But verse 16, nevertheless, verse 16, Galatians 2, knowing that a man is not made righteous by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we Jews, have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be made righteous through faith, by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. See, Peter, you have been made righteous through faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, because we know that by the works of the law, nobody can be justified in God's sight. We know that by the works of the law, a man is not made righteous. We know that. Since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, at the end of verse 16. Verse 17. For if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found sinners, we did something wrong here. We are sinned against God here. Is Christ the minister of sin? May it never be. Verse 18, for if I rebuild what I once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law. I died to it, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. See, the law claimed you. The law claims you. You didn't do enough right. You didn't do righteous enough. The law has claimed your life because you violated it. Now he says, through the law, I died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, or of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain, or as the New American Standard Version says, needlessly. If righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. If you can stand before God righteous by keeping the law only, then Christ died for nothing. Now people say, well, that's for our past sins, but now we can be righteous because we can keep all the law. Now that Christ just died for our past and we can be righteous. See, God's just going to forgive me for everything I did in the past, but now I'm on my own. I can course to the righteousness of God by all the laws myself. No, that's not what Paul said. He's talking to converted Peter. He's talking about converted Barnabas. He even said, and Barnabas himself got all upset and ran over there too. So he said, I told Peter in front of them, and every one of them is standing there. Don't think Barnabas' ears weren't burning when he said this to Peter. No, they wanted these Gentiles circumcised so that they could be as good as the Jews. Paul talks about that situation in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 12. Verse 1. I'm going to read it in verse 1. Galatians 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you. Now here are the Galatians. They're being sold a bill of goods. They're being told, you got to be circumcised. You're not good enough. You're not up there. If you want to be as good as us Jews, you have to be. And Paul now is saying in this letter, I, Paul, say to you, if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. In other words, if you now, being converted, you already have the Holy Spirit, you already converted, you already have the righteousness of Christ, you already believed in him, and now you're saying, I got to go and get circumcised in order that I could be righteous before God, then I'm going to tell you, Christ is no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You better do it all. You have been severed from Christ. If you want to take, there are two ways for righteousness. One is through faith in Christ, and the other is I'll stand on my own and just do the law perfectly, and I'll stand before God. If that's what you do, you're going to say, I reject Christ. I reject the faith of Christ. I reject righteousness through the faith of Christ. Then you're going to stand on your own. And Paul says, you're obligated to do the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified, made righteous before God by law. You have fallen from grace. You've fallen from God's grace, that his gift that he gave you. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You were running well, Paul says to the Galatians. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view. But the one who is disturbing you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is, whoever's upsetting you, whoever's taking you this way, whoever's preaching another Jesus, whoever's preaching another gospel. And you see in Galatians chapter 1, he talks about that. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, so somebody said, well, you know, Paul's circumcised. He tells people to be circumcised too. You know, Paul says, but if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. The stumbling block of the cross, a man on a cross who died for you, whose life paid for your sins. He became a curse for us, and whose life paid for our sins. And then we can believe in him, and his righteousness is credited to our account. Even though we're not 100% righteous, we're trying, we're doing our best. You can't go out and just do your worst. You have doing our best, but his righteousness is credited to our account, so we can stand before God. Would that those, and a little bit of a sarcastic view here, Paul was pretty upset, so pardon him for this little bit. I'm sure you know that, but it's still inspired word of God. Here it is, verse 12. I wish that they would cut themselves off. I wish they'd mutilate themselves. They want to circumcise you. I just wish they would, mutilate themselves. Righteousness is imputed. Justification is through faith in Christ. Now, I want to come back to this chapter again. You know, the words, the Greek words, justify, just, means righteous. Justify means to be made righteous. Righteousness, the righteousness of God, they're all from the same set of Greek words, the same word, dikaios, dikaioo, dikaiosune, dikaion, and so on, dikaios, dikaiosin, and so on. All these are the same Greek words, and they mean righteous or just or justification, justice, acquittal, being made righteous, and so on, justified. All right. Let's come back to Romans chapter 5. See, you remember in verse 24, five, he came, he who was delivered over, Romans 4 and verse 25, because of our transgressions and was raised for our justification. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, the imputed righteousness by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're no longer fighting God. We're no longer enemies of God. We have peace. I can come to God in peace. I can come to God saying, I'm trying to do my best, God, but I'm not good enough. I didn't do it perfectly enough. I lost my temper. I had this wrong thought. I had this bad attitude. I had this. And God, I come to you through the righteousness of faith in Christ. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom? It's through him. Also, we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace, into God's graciousness, in which we stand. When you stand before God, you're not standing on your own merits. You're standing on Christ's merits. You're standing on God's goodness. You're standing on God's gifts to you. And we exalt. We stand there. We have peace and we stand before God in this grace. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. The hope of sharing that glory of God. And not only this, Paul says, but we exalt in tribulations. We got trials, yeah. Things come our way. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to God's people. We exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance brings about proven character. And proven character brings about hope. And hope never disappoints us. Does not disappoint. Because the love of God, God's love, is poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit that was given to us. It's not just that God's love is in you that you can give it to others. It's also that God's love is in you and you can be assured of it at all times. That God's love, His love for you, has been poured out into your heart. And you could stand before Him in peace. You can stand before Him in hope. And even when trials come, we can exalt in those trials. Because God's love is ever in us, in our hearts, by the Holy and through the Holy Spirit of God. This is called justification by faith, the imputation process by which we stand before God righteous in His sight. Even though literally we are not 100% righteous. It should be a great encouragement when you read the scriptures of the Apostle Paul and the whole New Testament. Now that faith has to be a living faith, you know. It's not just a dead faith. It's a living faith that makes you want to do better than you're doing now. You are doing better. Not saying, okay, I believe in Christ, I can do anything I want. No. I'm doing better. But I still stand before God with the credited righteousness that comes from my faith in Jesus Christ.